pay close heed to my every word.
Early in the morning, rising to the street. Light me up that cigarette, and I'll strap shoes on my feet. Got to find the reason.
You're listening to League of Ordinary Gentlemen podcast, or just League podcast sometimes. 392. I'm Matt Durson.
League podcast, Clay Inferno.
How's it going, Clay? And how's it going,
pretty good.
World? Pretty good.
We were just taking care of some league business before the show, but we made some improvements to the website. So go over there and, as they say, like and subscribe. Like our stuff. Please, if you listen to the show for real, just follow us on Instagram. That's all we ask. And like
stuff. That's a pretty small thing to ask of someone, right? Because Instagram is actually, as social media sites and things go, that's pretty inobtrusive. You know, I don't find Instagram to be all that, you know, of a bother. You either go there, you check it out, whatever, but like...
What does it cost? I mean, you're following, like, supermodels and The Rock and, like, you know, people like that on Instagram. Follow us.
That's right. You're following pictures of cats or whatever. Like my wife does. You know what?
If I happen to post a lot of DC stuff on there because I like DC and I like Titans TV show, you know, but... You've put a variety of stuff up there. We just put it all the stuff we like. If you like pictures of Batman, that's definitely a place you can go. Pictures of cats, pictures of Batman.
Sure. I did put a picture of a cat up there last on Halloween, so that was fun. But yeah, so check all that stuff out and yeah, follow us. But you know, like us, click around. It all looks good. It makes us happy. So there you go.
And you know what else is happening? Buy John's My Hero Academia books.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of people already do, but yeah, it keeps him in, you know, keeps him in paychecks, obviously. Yep. So yeah, buy some Robinhood if you're so inclined.
He doesn't have.
I did that myself.
He doesn't have to take a winter job delivering oil to the South Shore, you know.
Delivering oil.
That just seems like the most blue collar thing I could think of. Just like
oil, yeah.
Oh, delivering maybe. Oil.
Hey. Oh, I gotta pay the bills here. I got some oil to bring today. I got some oil. Then it's time to letter. So today, as we record this, it is November 10th. Tomorrow is November 11th, and Tuesday is November 12th. Do you know the significance of November 12th, Clay?
I don't.
That is the day that Disney Plus goes online. So if you're excited about all this stuff.
I thought it was like a superstitious thing because, you know, like, I guess, well, my girlfriend was born at 11-11, but people always are like talking about 11-11, like they do a shot or they smoke weed at 11. I don't know what it is, but people are always like, oh, it's good luck, make a wish. I don't know what they do.
11-11, like PM is like make a wish, but this year, anyway, the significance is Disney Plus.
I did see the teaser commercial. I don't know what the Simpsons. Did you see that commercial?
Oh no, I didn't see that.
Bart is like, I won't do it. I won't do it. He's walking around with like he has Mickey Mouse pants on, but he's holding the ears and the nose. And then Homer's dressed up like Iron Man. He's like, "You'll put that nose on, boy." and Maggie's Yoda, and Marge is Princess Leia. It was really good.
I mean, I don't know exactly everything that's going to be on there, but obviously The Mandalorian is what a lot of the nerdy types are excited about.
They are talking about that show. And Watchmen is getting quite a buzz. People in general just seem to be loving that show.
I still only watched the first one because Rachel came home and was like, oh, I'd like to watch Watchmen. I said, oh, I watched the first one. She's like, what? So now we have to wait. You know how that is. But we'll get Mandalorian. Is. Yeah. That's how it works. You have a partnership.
Catherine the Great right now on HBO for me and Stacey. That's the we have a ton really? Of vibes over that one. Yeah.
You know what we've been watching, and I'm enjoying. Have you watched any of that Paul Rudd show, Living with Yourself? Have you seen any of this one?
I haven't.
I was like, it's going to be stupid and goofy and whatever, like that Michael Keaton movie back in the 90s. But it's actually quite good. It's kind of the first couple episodes are a little like silly, but it gets kind of deep as we go along, and we find out like what brought him to the. I mean, I won't spoil the whole thing, but like, you know, how he got to where he was in the first episode, they kind of go back and tell the story, and it's pretty interesting. I like it. So if you're an Ant-Man like fan, clone? I guess.
Is it like a clone situation? Okay.
Yeah, it is. It's a clone.
Yeah. Cool. I'll check that out.
But it's funny, but it's also getting like deeper, and I like it.
Do you know Billy, but, Billy on the Streets, Billy Eichner?
Oh, of course. We love Billy Eichner.
So there's a Billy Eichner with Chris Evans and Paul Rudd just came out the other day.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah,
did you see the one where he's like,
would you rather sleep with?
Yes. Yeah. And then Paul Rudd.
They said right Paul there. Rudd. And he yells at, he's like, yells at Chris Evans, like, would you leave?
So good.
All right. So here's the thing. I didn't know this. Now, I suppose I'm late to the party, but Disney Plus is $6.99 a month, or for the year, it's only $70. So you're saving a little bit of money if you go for the full year option.
DC Universe and all those things are structured that way, too. Like, you save...
I mean, like, not Netflix is, like, month
not
to
Netflix.
Month, right?
And I guess...
No, Netflix, because they're...
Not really Amazon Prime, because they are just... They're just fucking us somehow with the.
You just pay for the whole year anyway. I mean,
yeah, you pay for the year Prime. And you get more. You get more for.
But you get like a free month. I think you do get like a free month for if you just pay for the year. They just bill you for the year.
Yeah.
But it's really only Netflix that is fucking us.
Yeah, Hulu so. Too. Hulu, I think, is.
Oh, really? Well,
I have Hulu.
Yeah. Some things are by the month.
But some of this stuff is
like
going to be on Hulu that's supposed to be on FX. I read that the other day.
Oh, really? I mean, it's kind of a, I guess if I was in college now and I was taking class, I took a class of like where they talked about stuff like this, networks and what network, it was like a TV you know, business. It was kind of like into like getting into the economics and stuff of it. This would be a pretty interesting course if I was in college now and talking about this stuff. Like, this is an interesting time. All these different streaming networks and everything, and it's not really going to change the world, but it's interesting. You know, I mean, as far as your entertainment dollars and stuff. And
here's an interesting
where they go.
Comic book related thing too. These are all like old shows that have already happened. Like the Fosse Verdon miniseries on Hulu, and You're the Worst is like old, and Wilfred is kind of old. But
speaking of Billy Eichner, right?
Right.
Oh no, that was Difficult People. That was difficult. Yeah. Oh, sorry.
Okay. Anyway, but Legion, which is FX. But it's also the X-Men franchise. That seems to be the only comic book thing that's on here. So they're going to put that on Hulu instead of Disney Plus. Legion.
Well, there's still some like things about the TV shows and the, you know what I mean? Like, and the rights and stuff and all that. You can't just you know, we own the X-Men. So here you go. There's still, it's the same reason they can't have Daredevil.
Yeah. Are they still making baskets? Because that's headed to.
I don't know.
I don't know if he's Zach is done doing that.
I don't know. That was a pretty funny show. At least I didn't watch. I just didn't watch the end of it. But the first couple of seasons
were hilarious. I
didn't watch
all of it. But boy, is that a funny fucking show, man! He's the best.
I know. So good. So, anyways, speaking of business stuff, I do want to talk about this. I know this is a, you know, you don't really care that much about it, but. you know, sometimes I like to talk about sales and comic book sales and numbers and the business behind all that. So X-Men number one, which came out in October, the new Jonathan Hickman thing, relaunch.
Yes.
I don't know exactly how many copies, but apparently it was the best-selling comic book and the fourth highest dollar total in 10 years.
Wow.
And the highest in 3 years. Now, I don't even know what the cover price. It might have been $3.90. It might have been $5.99. So I don't know how you calculate dollars. But let's just say it made a lot of money. How about that?
Well, X-Force number one, which came out this week, was $4.99. So I would imagine X-Men was $4.99. Right.
I think it probably was $4.99. I actually liked X-Force number one. I thought, like, oh, God, here we go. It's more of the stuff, but...
I like Ben Percy. Liked it. I thought it was interesting. I don't really.
Yeah.
The thing is, I don't really care about the X-Men. So I'm kind of out. But it's not, I'm not saying it was a bad book. Okay. I like Ben Percy as a writer. He's cool. And I'm sure this story appeals to somebody. Yeah. But I kind of like more of just like a Wolverine fan, not like really a big team fan.
I get it. You're a Batman guy, and you don't.
But I like Ben Percy. Ben Percy also. I was talking about Jeff Lemire and Andrea Sorrentino. Ben Percy also. I interviewed him at Comic Con a couple years ago about.
That's him right. I remember that when I Green saw Arrow. The name. I said, "Wait a minute."
Yeah, yeah. So I mean, I do like him. He's a nice guy, and he's good to his mother.
That's all you need, right? You need guys
that's all you need.
Good to their mother. No, this is good because, like, and I thought, you know, I mean, they're doing this. I thought this was overkill, right? But it's not. It's very like they are doing a good job of making
is
all
it
of
overt
the
overt kill of Robert Liefeld character that was in Amazing or Regular Spider-Man 6. The
was he? Oh
issue.
God!
I don't know. Or he was like a Robert.
I don't remember that
image character. Overt kill.
He was definitely a character somewhere. So this is only the first issue, but there was some like major deaths and stuff. I won't spoil it too much.
Oh,
I guess.
I did like the I did like the cliffhanger at the end. I thought that
right.
was I thought that was cool. That's why I think, you know, Ben Percy is he's a good writer. I was interested, but I'm just not interested in the characters. I'm sorry, everybody.
Well, I didn't think I would be, and I don't even know half
like
of these Durson people
for no reason.
Yeah, what do you? What do we? You don't have
I'm
to.
Sorry,
you don't have to like it.
Sorry,
but hey, I don't like anything. But I'm trying to say this one was okay. You know, a lot of this Hickman stuff is good. So, yeah, I don't know. Check it out. It's, if you like old, this is kind of an old school throwback to the 90s. They bring back the Reavers, who are a 90s sort of villain. And they were the sort of in Logan. Those guys in Logan with the cyborg parts that were chasing after him. Those are kind of
the
Reavers. So,
they call them that in the movie, I think.
Oh, do they actually call them that? Okay, I didn't remember.
Or it was maybe like slightly different, like the main guy was called Reaver or something like that.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't remember them using the title, but it's definitely sort of based on them. So I don't know, they're in here. Anyway, X-Men selling a lot of books, which is kind of, you know, it's just good to hear. I don't know. I mean, like, I'm glad to hear it because all we talk about a lot is like, oh, this book didn't. Blah, blah, blah. I mean, I heard Captain Marvel, right? Which is one of, you know, I read that regularly, although I'm not loving it. But
you're not loving it, though. That's why it's not selling a lot of books.
I'm not really loving it. Well, it's not selling a lot of books is the funny. Yeah, it's really, yeah.
They need a new creative team. I'm sorry.
But... Well, I feel bad because I like Kelly Thompson and whatever. But so they had that big issue just a couple months ago that like sold out because they were supposedly introducing this new character, right? This new hero. who ended up being a new villain who ended up being nothing. So that book sold out, but then like 2 months later, they're really in the crapper. Like they're selling like nothing. So, and now they're trying apparently, and I don't know if this is true, but like they're trying all these variant covers and all this bullshit, but I don't think, does that really, do you buy three? Really. I mean, is there anybody? Yeah. Does that help? Probably not.
I don't get it. I mean, in a way, like I kind of don't get it with Captain Marvel, you know, cause she's not like, to me, she's not Wonder Woman, you know, like I know she's really popular, but
right.
You know, I think that they are doing them a disservice and, you know, you've got like, we got like a kind of an exodus over to DC. We got Fraction and G. Will Wilson and, Kelly Sue over there, Bendis. And then like over here, we've got like some cool creators at Marvel, like Donny Cates and Ethan Sachs, Nick Spencer, but like, they need to invest in Captain Marvel by getting somebody cool to do it. Like, get Neil Gaiman to do it.
Yeah, they should put, like...
you know what I mean? Like,
well, yeah. Like, yeah, they need, like, an A-lister.
So popular. They need a... They don't need, like, an Alan Moore, but they need, like... They don't need somebody that's...
Well, I think even, like, a Mark Waid or somebody, you know what I mean? Like, a... yeah. But here's what I think. Right, like, what's the Mark point? Waid's like, and every book...
Claremont.
I mean, like, what's the point, though? I mean, like, of Captain Marvel number 11. Oh, we're going to do all these variant covers. And I know every book has variant covers now, but, like, if it was, like, Captain Marvel number 1, you might get somebody buying, like, 3 copies if it's, like, different covers. But you're not going to buy more than 1 copy of Captain Marvel number 11. You know, I mean, just a nothing issue. No special significance to it.
But they,
so what's, I don't know, it just seems weird.
It's on the back end, though, because the retailers get discounts and more incentive to buy, pre-order more copies because they'll throw them in some variant covers that somebody can, you know, sell for the markup, and it justifies them ordering an extra 10 copies of it or whatever, because they're going to make all their money off the super rare variant that comes out of it, you know?
Yeah, but I don't think, I think that's kind of starting to go down, because I don't think they're, you know what I mean? I think retailers are smartened up, the fans have smartened up to not waste their money on a lot of this junk for just a one-off, you know, like just, like I said, Captain Marvel 11 or whatever, you know what I mean? Not like, I don't know, but it's we'll weird. See. But that, anyway, whatever it is, it's, that book is kind of in the shitter, is all I'm saying.
Yeah.
And maybe it is just because it's not that good. Like,
I don't think it's that good. I liked Kelly Sue's Captain Marvel. Like, and then some G. Willow Wilson Captain Marvel, but not all of it. And otherwise, I like the movie. Name another Captain Marvel thing that I like. There isn't one. Like, no, they haven't really been a good movie.
Well, that's kind of what I'm getting. You know what I mean? Yeah, I mean, she's not a, even with the movie, she's, you know, she's a popular character, but she's not like Spider-Man or now apparently the X-Men, who are apparently sort of back in the, thanks to Hickman. So I guess that is what happens. You give it to Jonathan Hickman, he does a complete reboot, and now it's selling like crazy. So, yeah, I don't know.
What was the last big X-Men Maybe. Thing like that was significant, like the, probably like the Bendis All New X-Men? Was like the
last
big event.
Yeah, that probably was the last big X-Men. But they've tried other things, and it just doesn't, you know what I mean? It's fine, and they, you know,
a lot has happened.
I'm sure they sell enough.
Secret War and everything. Like, right. A ton has happened with the X-Men since then. But this is like a big, like, new 52 reboot. It's weird that Marvel can do this, but DC can't. Like, DC always has to fuck everything up, but, it's just so weird. Like, they can just reboot all X-Men and the rest of Marvel just kind of stays the same, you know? It's
yeah.
weird that you can't just take sections of DC and reboot them instead of like just like, oh, another Earth has collided into another Earth and now we're all one and we're all up here
together. Right, it's just company-wide stuff that they're not good at, you know,
like everybody. I would say that Miles Morales being in the same universe as Spider-Man is kind of the DC solution to that, which is like, okay, we like shut down this whole line of comics, but we love Miles, so he just lives with you guys right now. Like, there's like a number of Flashes and a number of Robins.
Yeah,
you know. So I like that. I like Miles.
And well,
I like
that's Miles kind of like. No, that's the thing. Obviously, they took the most popular ultimate character, or the only popular one, probably by that point. They were like, let's just bring him over here and have him. And they, you know, they did Old Man Logan, and that just ended, too. Yeah. So, I don't know.
And all of the ultimate
now they just
versions of the Avengers ended up, like, being what we recognize as the Avengers now anyways through all the movies. So, you know, it all kind of, everybody kind of graduated.
Kind of, yeah. Right, but the only actual character that they were like that they created just for the ultimate, you know, Spider-Man universe is now just over here, and that's fine because he was the most popular one, and he was the only one who deserved his own title in the regular 616 or whatever the hell it's called.
So, but
speaking of DC, I guess we should talk about this new Batman because I read it this morning, figuring you'd want to talk about it. Did you want to talk about this new issue of Batman?
Did read it.
I read it in about 3 seconds. It took me took me no time to read this book at all.
It's and, funny because I got the variant cover.
I don't know.
Just trying to find it in my stack, and I don't know who did this cover, but it's pretty cool. It almost looks like a Neil Adams kind of thing. But yeah, I mean, you know, I can't wait for this to be over.
I'm not ragging on it. It's fine. I can't wait this to be over, too. It's
good punchline.
It's going on so long.
I noticed
what was the
last time when we were talking, we were like, Bruce is winking. It was like, it's not like it's wink, wink, back-breaking work or anything. You know what I mean?
Right.
And then there's kind of a back-breaker reversal kind of situation, which was interesting.
Well, he's about to break. Well, let's start from the
top. And your favorite Thomas,
Thomas Wayne is, this is why I want this thing to end. We were talking about melding universes and stuff, and this is, you know, here's Thomas Wayne in this one. So, the thing about this is, so Batman and Bane they're going to have a big showdown. Batman's all like, you and me, one-on-one, no help. He takes off his utility belt. He takes off his shirt. And Bane's like, okay, no help. Takes out the vent. They take off the masks, right?
No masks.
Bane takes out his Bane Venom shit. So he's basically just a big dude now. He's not, there's no whatever. And they're like, okay, one-on-one. And then Catwoman is kind of hanging out there in the background, and he's like, what about Catwoman? And Batman's like, no help. And then immediately, as soon as the fight's about to start, Catwoman gets involved, and they double team Bane, and Batman has batarangs taped to his back. It's like a total Die Hard moment, which I actually thought that was kind of, you know, nice little thing
cool.
there.
Very cool.
And they have
very
whatever. Cool. Some
good fight scene.
They've got the Gotham Girl poison on them, whatever the hell it is, and Bane is kind of, he's weakened. But he does still beat them. Or he beats Catwoman. He throws her against the wall.
He try to inject him with like super venom. And
well, that's
like,
what he did when they were on the thing. Yeah.
There's no way that he can survive.
Yeah, because they were kind of laughing at him. They're like, oh, Bane is too, like he's too smart for this and whatever. I'm gonna talk about the ultimate punchline though. Oh god, I wish they hadn't said this when Catwoman is like clawing his face, Bane's face, and she's clawing at his eyes, and she says, "What's the matter? Cat got your tongue?" I was like, "Oh, why did you say
well,
that?"
Well, Tom King does do this. He does insert like a lot of like stuff you'd hear in Batman the Animated Series. In here, he does go there. That's why I was annoyed last week with two weeks ago, like with you know, back breaking work.
Yeah,
you know, same thing.
Yeah,
I thought
well,
the
this
art
is,
was spectacular.
I don't know, this is worse. I like the art is great, absolutely.
Especially to have like good like most of it is the fight. It's like a gigantic fight scene.
Yeah, it's just a issue. Fight. It like, is. It's like 80s Marvel comics. There's literally nothing in this. That's why I was kind of joking, but I said it only took me like 3 minutes to read the thing because it was, it's just fighting and a lot of big panels and a lot of like, so
I'm cool with it.
But anyways,
that's what I want. I want more of that.
It's fine. It's good to have this once in a while. So anyway, yeah, Bruce, Batman is about, he's got Bane up. He's about to crack him over his knee, just like Bane did to him. And then Thomas Wayne, my favorite, comes and shoots Batman in the back.
All right.
His own son, and then he shoots Bane as well. So
yeah.
In the end, he's standing tall in the, you know. And I guess the story must continue. So we're going on to part 9.
Fetch the pirate.
Yeah, that's what he says. Fetch the pirate. When will this thing end? What?
It's going to end soon. It's coming to an end soon.
All right. Well, it's got to because Tom King is off the book. Is it going to end and then they're going to go Batman number one, or they're going to go like Batman 86 they're or whatever issue it is?
He's going to do Batcat, and someone else is going to pick up to do lead them up to issue 100.
Okay, so when they get to 100, though, they're not going to start over at number one now. So close to 100.
I think there'll probably be a 101 and 102.
Okay. That's fine. I'm fine with that. I'm just saying. Yeah. This, whatever, though, this thing. Jesus.
Yeah. just like you are sick of Thomas Wayne, I'm sick of somebody else over in Marvel. I'll tell you who that is. Dr. Doom.
Tell me. Oh, yeah? You're sick of him? Well, isn't he dead?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. He's, so you're okay with that? An
amazing Spider-Man.
Well, but it, apparently in Dr. Doom's own book, he is murdered. So I don't know when that Amazing Spider-Man his story takes place, but somebody killed Dr. Doom in his own book. I mean, not that he's dead, but yeah, so let's talk about Amazing Spider-Man a little bit. Yeah, he always has bots. So let's talk about Amazing Spider-Man a little bit. I'm getting a little, this whole book is starting to, I don't know. I loved it at first when, what's his name? Took over, Nick Spencer.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I don't like Spider-Man's super spy sister. I don't like her. I don't like the idea of that. I don't know why. I just don't care. I don't want him to have a sister. He never had a sister before.
Yeah, I don't want to have a sister.
I don't like long lost relatives. Like it's some sort of fucking General Hospital thing. We got Silver Sable. I guess that's a nice throwback to the 90s or late 80s, I suppose. Mid 80s. I don't know. Silver Sable is here. She has a bot. Speaking of fake, you know, bots, because she's like dying and she needs some sort of something to keep her alive. And I don't know, this one is really digging into some strange things. I don't even really, I don't know, I just don't, they don't interest me all that much. I hate to say it.
It's kind of a little hard to follow.
And they have this weird 2099 thing that's not
it's not like related yet.
Tying,
yeah.
It's not related yet. Yeah, it's not tying into any of what Spider-Man is doing. And they're also like, doing this kind of, I guess, sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say there's like of the different little acts of this book. I did like the when he was late for class and then they showed up and then they have like this AI that's the universe or something like
or like can kind of predict the future almost.
Yeah,
right.
Predict
in a way.
With like Reed Richards tech AI. And I thought that was that's like kind of cool.
Yeah, that's kind of more interesting than the A storyline, right? You know what I mean? Like I find that kind of more interesting.
I like when and it's, you know, you need to have that part of Peter Parker's life like always there. You know what I mean? You can't forget that he's absolutely super smart, you know? And the people around, in this case, it's not, he doesn't even know that he did anything. It's like the people that he's doing this project with, they're actually super smart. And you got to see like what kind of science shit they can get into.
But aren't they kind of using his old tech? Like, because he had that sort of watch that he had, or he didn't, but like in the Superior Spider-Man thing or whatever, when he was, when he owned Parker Industries, there was kind of a, you know, so they're kind of using his tech, but they're making it better and whatever. So, yeah, I like that stuff way better than all this other junk with Silver Sable and whatever else is going on.
I'm hoping that the, but, I want the 2099 thing and the, I want the other stuff to sort itself out, like with the Silver Sable, whatever the fuck's going on there. But 2099 thing, I'm interested in it. You might not be, but I want to see where that's going, and I want to see like where, you know, if they could just move this whole story along, not just have a comic book be like, you know, oh, 5 pages of it were good.
Yeah, right. No, I agree. I am curious about the 2099 stuff, but yeah, I don't want to spend, you know, whatever, $4.99, $3.99, whatever, on 5 pages of a good book. So
I do like the
But
art.
I'll tell you
like
what is a good
Patrick Gleason. Yeah.
Yeah, the art is good. Patrick Gleason's very good. I'll tell you what I did like also, and I'm pretty sure you probably did too. I don't know if you read it. Daredevil. Did you get the new Daredevil?
Oh, yeah. I did get Daredevil.
Oh,
other Marvel one, it was Old Man Quill. I don't know if you're still on that or not.
No, not at all.
You,
are you still on that?
You kicked that skank to the curb?
Kicked it to the curb. I think I bought 3. And I was
11.
Like,
they're up to 11.
Holy!
A lot of stuff.
Just like Spinal.
Fantastic Four and Herbie and Time Travel. Anyways. We don't have to talk about it. Let's Herbie. Talk about Daredevil.
Let's talk about Daredevil. I like this. This book really got me. It reminded me of like an episode of Breaking Bad or something. And I especially mean the Kingpin stuff.
Yeah.
So, or even the Daredevil show, right?
That's So the Kingpin is kind of like the sibling to the show. You know, like I don't exactly picture Charlie Cox being this Daredevil, but I picture this them being like, okay, you know what we're gonna do for season 4 of Daredevil? Just read these comics and then come up with something. You know? <It's> so good.
It is so good. So Daredevil, I want to talk the Kingpin for a second. So he's the mayor and he's in this, and at the end of last issue, he was at this house of this wealthy, you know, whatever, person, and they were kind of making fun of him, and because he's, you know, whatever. They just thought he was a big bully, and he ends up killing the guy, killing one of these guys who was making fun of him in the bathroom.
Yeah,
and here he is, like in his, he really thinks like I'm gone legit. Like they actually did that a few issues ago, where he said I'm out, I'm not, you know, doing crime anymore. I'm the mayor. I don't need to do that stuff. And then he goes and just kills this guy, like. And he feels really bad, and he calls, well, not really bad. He doesn't feel that bad, but he's very scared because he thought he was done with this stuff. And he calls Wesley, who I'm so glad, speaking of the show, they have Wesley now in the book. And he calls him, he's like, help me. I killed a guy. And Wesley is like, boom.
Why don't I recall who Wesley is from the show?
He was in like the first season and I think maybe season and a half. I don't know. I don't know if he lived to the second season, but he was like this is exactly who Wesley was in the show. And eventually Kingpin killed him. But, you know, but Wesley is like the cleaner. He's like fucking Harvey Keitel in Pulp Fiction. He comes in.
Yeah.
And he's just like, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. He gets. Totally. He gets
like
one of the house
and it was like
leaders.
Breaking Bad with the when they disintegrated the guy in the acid. It was like,
oh yeah, like I know. But it's so weird because so I was fooled, and I don't know if you were, but when he says, "Oh, we're gonna make it look like a suicide," and you assume he means the dead guy, and then they go and they like kill the housekeeper,
yeah,
and they make it look like he committed suicide.
Yeah.
And that the dead guy was so freaked out, got in his car and drove away. And
this is a for mature readers book. Like, I was like, I get disturbed by stuff a little bit. I was like, ugh, like that makes me feel queasy. When I saw the razor blade, I was like, ugh.
Yeah.
they
don't show him kill.
No, they don't. But the guy. There's like a lot of blood in the.
But it's
like that Daredevil episode where he smashes the guy's head in the door. Like, I'll never forget my reaction to that. It was like the same thing. I was like, ugh, gross.
Well, I think it's scarier in this that you don't see him kill it. It's just, it's more that it's like, oh, that's like creepy that they're just like going to slit this guy's wrist or whatever.
Flash the,
right.
The razor blade and then cut away. Like, wow.
Right. That's right. Crazy. You don't even. Yeah. So, I mean, that
Elektra
is.
And Daredevil doing whatever.
Yeah. Elektra and Matt Murdock are kind of doing their thing. Yeah.
I like that.
Like,
I mean,
you've gotten weak. I like it.
Fucking what's so great about this. You get everything you like about Daredevil, like the TV show, fucking Frank Miller, fucking, you know, like cool new kind of like cop show kind of aesthetic to it.
It's bad. Yeah, I have to admit too, this cop, this guy, what was it, North, whatever his name is, Cole North, or I didn't really like him at first. I kind of thought like, oh, whatever. But I kind of like they're giving him some layers.
They're setting him up to be like, he's like kind of like the J. Jonah Jameson. Like, I'm going to get you, Daredevil. But then they're going to have to kind of reconcile things with each other. And even though they have a complicated past, they're going to have to help each other out or something, you know?
Yeah, and I think he's not a bad guy, you know. Yeah, what I mean, like he's kind of got a cop, like, wait a minute, I just want to thing. Right. Well, now he's been suspended or whatever for a couple weeks, so. And now at the end, Matt Murdock goes up to him and says, "So, how about we get some coffee?" And they're going to talk it out, I guess, and find out what's going on. So, yeah,
and as
great
a fan
stuff.
As I know you are of David Mack. They kind of have this guy Tedesco that's doing these covers. It's kind of a similar vein. It's like, or it's like Bill Sienkiewicz.
Yeah, it is.
Like painted, you know, scraping, you know, blood everywhere. This fat kingpin with like blood on his hands, you know. Oh, so good.
I like that. I like that. Well, unfortunately, even though I know I saw the cover online, I got to the store a little late this week, and I had this weird $20.99 variant cover,
Declan
which I don't
Shelby's
really
$20.99.
Yeah, I mean it's fine, but I wanted the other one, but whatever.
If I see,
it's fine.
We can trade.
No, don't worry about it. No, I don't. Oh, do you want to? I don't mind Declan Shelby. I'm just like, oh, I wanted the cool painted one, but it doesn't matter. All that matters is it was a great book on the inside. That's what's inside that matters. Yeah.
You're right. Yeah, think about it.
Yeah, it's just like people. So, what else? What else you got? You got anything else? I don't know what else I read. Did you read Lois Lane?
DC things. As I say, they're somewhat related to the Lois Lane, and also you probably did not get the Legion of Superhero number one, but
no,
that's another Bendis book that includes Superboy John Kent, who's left his parents after he was away for 10 years. He's aged 10 years. He hasn't even seen his parents that much, but then he's like, "Hey guys, I'm gonna go back to the future." And he joins the Legion of Superheroes.
Back and, to the future.
I really liked it. But not being as much of a DC person, you might not, you know, you definitely wouldn't be into it. It's more like, I guess it's kind of a little bit like a Green Lantern book. It's a big team book. Lots of different characters. You have to know them from who they are, Sapphire Girl and stuff like that. But
yeah, I didn't.
You know, it's Bendis running.
I bought the thing.
I mean, teenagers. No. Oh, you did buy it.
Oh, right. So, no, I did not. I misspoke. I didn't buy it. Oh. I saw it.
You're like, I bought it. I saw it.
No, I didn't buy it. I almost did. I was like, well, maybe it's a new, it's a number one, it's Bendis, and sometimes he can be okay, but yeah. At the end, I said, nah. I flipped through it.
For you to be into it, but I did like it. And but we are lucky that we are getting books like Daredevil and Lois Lane and yeah. Jimmy Olsen, too, by these guys.
Oh, I haven't read Jimmy Olsen yet, but I do like Lois Lane. I'm liking the Lois Lane book. It's a lot different. It's a very different kind of thing. It's, you know, it's, I don't know. You know what I mean? You don't get a lot of books like this where it's just,
yeah.
She's in the universe, but she's just a regular person and she's just a journalist. And we get a little bit of that journalism talk about, like, is this off the record? And what does that even mean? And, like, stuff like that, you know? So it's kind of cool. I like it. The dialogue is snappy.
And I did not.
The writing is. I did not either. It's pretty interesting. If you ever get questioned by a journalist, now you know what all that means.
I've had people actually ask me, like, you know, if I've had people ask me for quotes for stuff, and then I realized that if they don't say anything, that whatever you say is on the record. So you have to be
right.
The one
you have to say
you're the one that has to say this right. Needs to be off the on the record. Off the record or whatever, or deep, what is right. It? Unnamed source, deep background, on background.
Right.
There's all these different little things that was really cool.
Right. I know. Yeah, there's so many. And I wonder how, like, Greg Rucka must have done all that research, right? I guess.
I listened I listened to John Word Balloon's, you know, the Word Balloon podcast with Rucka, and he said, that Rucka said that, like, he submitted that to his editor, and his editor was like, how did you know this? And he's like, I just kind of know it. I've been in the business for a long time. And his editor's like, well, I didn't know that. You know what I mean? The editor That's didn't pretty... even know it.
I mean, there you go. So you didn't know, I didn't know, the editor didn't know. I thought that was something you maybe just pull up on Google, you know what I mean? Like, because that's what, yeah. I mean, I even... When I was doing, not that I did a lot of research for Robin Hood, but anything I didn't know, I'm like, I gotta look this up. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
But it's pretty good. He just knew. He has been around a long time, and he's been doing good work for a long time. So that book was this week top of the stack.
Yeah.
I was like, and I'm going to read me some Lois Lane.
You know, if you're like a... Even a casual Superman fan or like a fan of the movie, there's some fun, like, Chief Clark,
right.
Like, scenes, you know, and he's like, Chief can't figure out how to tie
yeah,
his
Perry,
ties, so Clark's, like, trying
Perry
to...
Perry White is all like,
don't find me, put your hands on me. Yeah. Yeah. You touch me, Kent, and you're sharpening pencils for a week.
Yeah, it's very okay, sort of Chief. Old school. It's kind of funny, because I guess, like, there's been movies like, but news is so different now. And you know what I mean? Like, it's kind of a throwback.
Yeah.
But I like it. I like this book a lot. So.
And the question stuff is cool.
I'm glad it's like 12. Yeah.
Yeah. It's 12 and we're on 5. And Fraction. This is another thing from that other podcast, which you guys should all go listen to. But he said that Fraction and Rucka, you know, they thought they were getting like an ongoing series. And then they were like, no, you just got 12 issues of these characters. So Lois Lane and Jimmy Olsen are kind of doing their own thing. You know, Jimmy Olsen is more like the Hawkeye book, cause it's Fraction.
Oh, really?
But it's pretty funny because he puts Jimmy Olsen in like, he makes him kind of like a social media star, and he keeps doing all these stunts and like having Superman save him at the last second. And he's like doing video blogs of it and stuff like that. So it's just kind of, it's a little bit more fun than Lois Lane, but you know, that Fraction stuff you like about Fraction is in there.
Oh, very good.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, yeah, that's great. Maybe I'll check that out when it's all done. I'll just read it all in one.
Yeah, because it'll be, it's like that and Lois Lane will go on for about the same amount of time. So
Yeah, very well. Very well. I think that's everything as far as what I got.
That's all I got, brah.
Loving is what I got. That's all I got. I guess.
Remember that?
I don't know.
Remember that?
Yeah, remember that. So, yeah, that's. I guess that's our show. I don't know. Do you got any? Is there anything else, really? I feel like we really just burned through those pretty quick.
Yeah, I mean, so, I did, like, honestly, you know, it's tradition of, I think, for me to mention the Spider-Man title that people are not reading at the end. Saladin Ahmet is writing the Miles Morales book, and if you'll know that even from the movies that that the Prowler is Miles' uncle. And so, like...
So that's Miles canon? Goes,
That's canon.
That's canon?
It's into the Spider-Verse.
Right. Know, yeah, but I didn't know if they only came up with that for Into the Spider-Verse, or that, if that was is like a actually thing in the books as
has
well.
always been the case
okay.
when Miles first got started. So, like, Prowler was around before, and I think they were like, oh, like, let's have him be related to a supervillain. but anyways, so he goes, Spider-Man is trying to stop the Prowler, and then he's like, oh, man, you know, like, Uncle Aaron, I thought you were done with this stuff. And he's like, I was, but I have to do this one last job to get out of my contract kind of thing. And there's a villain called Ultimatum, which has the same logo as the Ultimatum from when they, I don't know, that stupid end of the Ultimatum.
Yeah, they sort of killed off all the, yeah.
Yeah. Interesting. And now, Miles is out of web fluid, and the Prowler's, you know, like his superpowers in his suit are the batteries all the way low, and they need to get from uptown to Brooklyn to meet up with the Ultimatum to take him down in order for Aaron to get out of his contract. So anyways, they're like kind of in a tough spot, but you know, the Prowler's trying to go good, but you just got that one last job he's going to take care of. And this
is always
like
the way.
Continuation of the Bendis story. He's like really doing a good job. Unlike, I would say, I don't want to slag on it, but you know, put this guy on Captain Marvel. Like, this guy knows what he's doing.
Sure.
He's carrying the torch from Bendis and doing a good job of telling good Miles Morales stories. And
all right.
Something's lacking over there in the Captain Marvel office, and we don't know what.
I don't even know. It's not hard. I mean, I'm just saying the sales have been low. The book is not, it's fine, it's whatever, but like, they're supposedly going to change some things up soon, but all I was really saying was that there's a lot of, you know, if you want to talk about sales, and that's what I was talking about, that book is not really setting the woods on fire, considering 2 months ago it's so completely sold out. So
yeah,
it's but
what I've read of it, I didn't
weird.
Like, that was kind of boring. So
series has been a little rough.
If they get somebody on there that I'm into, then I'll check it out. You know, put fucking Judd Winnick
or
something. Like Wade, Simone, Mac.
Bendis, Mac, Romita. All right. Well, hey, but I will say, I hope they don't change up the colorist. Robin Hood, number one colorist, is still working on Captain Marvel. Tamara Bond villain, so...
They're
just want to have Ringo work
forever. Doesn't matter if like
I think
not
so.
On
right.
On Captain Marvel.
Yeah,
Captain Marvel gets canceled tomorrow. Tamara will get right onto another book immediately.
I'm sure. So good. Absolutely. So yeah, just want a Ringo. I think I told you, a Mark.
Nice.
You know, a colorist award for name for Mark Waringo. So.
Nice.
Yeah. Anyways. Yeah. Award-winning colorists on Robin Hood number one. Go over to RobinHoodComic.com and
Or to Leak Podcast.
Or just go to Leak Podcast. All right. Look at that. Bring it all full circle. All right,
just
Clay.
Like the damn Instagram page, for Christ's sakes. At Leak Podcast.
Yeah, just go like the damn Instagram page. That's right. We don't follow. Even, you know what? It's not like It's not like you're going to get spammed. It's Instagram, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway. Thanks for listening. If you did, and if you didn't, oh well, you should work on that. But anyway, good talking to you, Clay. Check out Disney Plus, I guess. And yeah, we'll talk to you chumps later.
Yeah, we'll get to talk new Star Wars next week that you won't hate.
Oh, I hope so.
I hope.
All right. Well. See you later.
Later, you fuck. They're just fucking us somehow.